piece of paper, probably seven or eight different things I'd like to bring to your attention. Going to have a lot of scripture that goes along with the lesson, but our tongues and our mouth. And it's something that's important that we know how to use it, and important that we learn what the Bible says about our tongue and our mouth. There is things that we should say, and there's things that we shouldn't say. There's ways we should say things, and there's ways we should not say things. So when we look at the scripture today, some basic things that maybe you've never give thought to. So go back to, you say, why are you calling declare his glories? Because that's our theme for this year, and give you some definitions for it. Declare means to make known, to tell explicitly, to manifest or communicate plainly to others. To what? We're trying to declare what? His glory. The magnificence, the great beauty, the splendor of God that can be seen in everything he does, especially in his salvation and his redemption. I contend to you that everything we do in our lives can bring honor and glory to God. He tells us to bring honor and glory to God with everything we do. And everything we do, you know, it says, do it all for the glory of God, right? So our speech is something we can use in order to bring glory through what we say, how we say it, and what we choose to not say. We can actually bring glory. Sometimes when people try to confront you with speech, or sometimes they try to antagonize you, sometimes they try to stir up words, and you do not react in your flesh, they're going to turn around and say, why didn't they say something back? Or why didn't they, you know what? That brings glory to God when you can explain to them, hey, this is why I act the way I act. Is this easy? No. Is it easy to want to get back? Yes. Is it easy to want to say smart aleck things and make yourself feel better? It is, but that's not scriptural. That's not going to declare God's glory. When you get down in the pig's pen and start throwing slop back and forth at each other, or mud back and forth at each other, you know what? That's not declaring God's glory at all. So when you stay out of it and you try to encourage and use your mouth and your tongue as a way to edify, as a way to build up, as a way to encourage, instead of being as a way to get even with people. So here's some different things. I'd like to look at these verses in Colossians chapter number 4. Of course, you're there and I'm not, but I'll get there in a second. Colossians chapter number 4. We're going to read from the beginning. Colossians 1 and 2 talks about the preeminence of Christ. It's a wonderful book of the Bible. It's a little bit of a deep book of the Bible. Verse chapter 3 and chapter 4 begins talking about some practical things. At the end of chapter number 4, you have Paul saying goodbye to people. And we looked at that at the senior luncheon this past week about how there's always people ministering and serving. But Colossians chapter 4, we'll start in verse number 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. That's a good thing to remember. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So you have here different ways we should be, things we should be doing. Continuing in prayer, and everything should be dealing with thanksgiving. We'll come back to thanksgiving in a little while. Withal, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So it's saying, Paul's saying, look, I want you to be praying for me. He says, I want a chance to be able to talk, be able to speak about the mystery of Christ. Verse number 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Once again, Paul's saying, hey, teach me how to, I want you to pray for me, give me the opportunity, but also not just give me the opportunity, teach me what I should say. And that's, we need God's help in what to know. Sometimes I don't know what to say. Sometimes it's like somebody comes to me with something, I'm like, how do you want me to respond? And I respond that way sometimes. I look at them and say, I don't really know what you want me to say. And if I say this, you're going to call me, you know, weak. If I say this, you're going to say I'm being ugly. It's like sometimes people actually try to trap you, or you ask you questions to just try to demoralize you. And, you know, what do you do with that? That's when I say to them, I don't know what you want me to say. But he comes here in verse number 4, in verse number 5 says, walk in wisdom. So it talks about our practical walk and how we're supposed to walk in wisdom. Where do we get wisdom from? We get wisdom not only from knowing the Bible, but applying the Word of God. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. It takes the principles that God's given us in His Word, and it applies it to our lives. It's the doing, not just hearing the Word, but doing the Word. There's two principles. There's pillars there. There's hearing the Word of God, and then there's also doing the Word of God. And He says, walk in wisdom. Now look to what it says, toward them that are without. And, you know, that can mean a lot of different things, a lot of different people. without Christ, without needs, you know, people that are struggling with something, you know, those are that are without. You can kind of fill in your own blank there. He's talking about people that need the gospel in verse number 3, but he's saying to them, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. And sometimes that's where I really need wisdom. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of people that have needs, a lot of people who even call the church and say, hey, can you help pay my electric bill? And, you know, there's people that have needs, but the Bible talks about helping those that are without, those that, that have needs. So what do? There, you walk in wisdom. You look at the scriptures, you apply the scriptures, and you let the Holy Spirit lead you. But you need God's help. But then it keeps on going. What does it say? Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. It's important that we make use of those things that are had the opportunity to do. Anybody ever found a good deal at a store? I like deals. Some of you know that. I like to be a shopper. I like to find great deals about things. And it's sort of like you find something at the store that is super cheap, and you go and you buy as many as you can afford. And you're going to take it all. You're going to do everything you can because you know you're never going to see it that cheap again. You know that opportunity is never going to come back. I'm going to go and take as much as I can, and I'm going to buy that much. That's what it's talking about, redeeming the time. It's, you know, you have this opportunity. You do not know if this opportunity is going to come back again. Now, walk in wisdom toward those that are without, redeeming the time, buying back, taking advantage of every opportunity. But then it goes to the next phrase. Let your speech be always with grace. Now, you come to the spot, you're like, grace, does that mean unmerited favor? Doesn't that mean that's what God shows us? Yes. And he's saying, this is what your speech is supposed to be like. And not just to those that are in our church family, to those that are without, to those that maybe struggle, and it's supposed to be with grace. Do you have a right to say something back? Yes. But should you show them unmerited favor, even if they don't deserve it, and season it with salt? Look what it says here. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming in time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Anybody like salt? I love salt. Last week when they thought I might have been dehydrated, a couple people said, you might be dehydrated. You might need some more salt. I'm like, great. I was telling my wife as I'm pouring it all the food, you know, that they said I might need some more salt. She said, just drink more water. The salt's a lot more fun than the water is. So, but it's seasoned with salt. What does that mean? Salt makes a person thirsty. It's flavorful. It's saying our speech should be in a way it's flavorful and making people thirsty for what else you have to say. I don't think we talk that way sometimes. I think sometimes we turn people away with the way we talk to people. And that's what the Bible's saying here. How can we declare his glory? We can declare his glory when we, not compromising, not giving in, not saying, okay, sin's fine, whatever, do whatever you want. No, no, no. It's when we are walking with in wisdom toward those that are without. We're redeeming the time, taking advantage of the opportunities. We're always distinguishing grace to people, even if they don't deserve it. Well, they don't deserve the grace. Well, that's what grace is. That's what mercy is. It's unmerited favor. It's not getting what you deserve. Now it says, seasoned with salt in a way that's going to cause people to want more. And it keeps on going, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. That's what I want to do, because like I said, sometimes, especially as a pastor or a preacher, different people, different backgrounds, some people are super smart, some people are like me, not the most intelligent, and they ask things, I'm like, I just don't know how to answer it. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. But the Bible says that if we will speak with grace, seasoned with salt, that we'll be able to know how to answer every man. How do we get there? So that's what we're going to look at this morning a little bit, how to declare his glory. We want to make God known explicitly to everyone. We want to manifest God. We want to communicate plainly to God his beauty and his magnificence. You're not declaring God's beauty and magnificence when you get even with our speech, when you're hateful with your speech, when we're smart aleck with our speech. Is that one? I like doing that. So if some of the teenagers came up and heard me teach this lesson, they'd be like, why do you pick on me all the time? But this is something I need to work on, something I need God's help with. So the first point, some different things about how to declare his glory. First thing I want you to see is I think we need to pray for God's help. I just think that's Paul is saying this here, the great apostle Paul. He's won a lot of people in this area in the Colossians or Colossae, and he's asking them, hey, look, I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray, and as you're praying, I need you to pray, number one, that God will give me the door of utterance. that I'll meet more people, that I'll get to know more people, that I'll get to see more people, and that God will give me the opportunity to tell them about the mystery of Christ. But then he goes on even farther, that I know what to say. Doesn't Paul know what to say? We would think if anybody knew what to say, it'd be the Apostle Paul. But that's not, now he's saying, I want you to pray for me because I need to know what you say. We need to pray to God. The truth of the matter is our speech is something we're going to learn in a little bit that we cannot control on our own. Our tongue is something that we need God's help with. So, and we talk about our speech. So I want us to each personally look at this and say, is my mouth something I could work on? Is there something I could really help? Do I need to be more patient? Do I need to be more kind? Do somehow I need to extend more grace to people? Because it says it right there that it should be always with grace. What does that mean? We're not going to figure it out unless we ask God. Now, I love this verse. It's a great verse. It says, and we could use a lot of verses to demonstrate this, but let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Yes. Most of us probably quote that. Most of us could say that's our life verse because, you know, if my heart is right, the meditations of my mind, which is talking about our center of our life, our heart in a sense, and if my words are acceptable, boy, I'm far ahead of a lot of people because I know what my thoughts in my mind are sometimes. I want them to be acceptable to God. I want my words to be acceptable. And if our meditations are right, many times our thoughts, our words are going to be right too. So first thing is to declare his glory with our mouth is we need to pray and ask God for help. Put this on your prayer list. Write that verse down. Say, God, I want my tongue to be used in a way that glorifies you. And the only way that's going to happen is when I know if my speech is acceptable to you, when the words in my mouth are acceptable, and when my thoughts are acceptable. So the next thing is realize something. And some of these are realize. I use the word understand one point and realize another point because they want to say the same thing over and over. But we need to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. James 3 is a wonderful passage of scripture talking about the tongue, and next week we might look at it as from the negative side. Here we're looking about how to declare his glory, how are we going to declare it, how are we going to do it? And this thing is rely on the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Bible says we can't do it by ourselves. Look what it says. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Some people might say, well, this is not an area I struggle with. This is not an area that I have an issue with. And some of us struggle more than others, but each of us must learn to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. We got to come to the point and say, you know what? My tongue, the Bible says, and we know the Bible is true. We know the Bible is right. And you know what? It says that it's an unruly evil. It says that no man can tame it. I find it more often than not, the person who does not think they have a problem with their tongue is usually the one that has the greatest problem with their tongue, the one that is evident and everyone knows it. Now, there's nothing wrong with what I say. There's nothing wrong. You know what? The Bible says no man can tame it. We need God's help with this. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. We need to pray and say, okay, Lord, I need your help. I'm relying. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking in wisdom. I want to know how to answer every man. I want to do this right because my tongue, I know, is unruly because I know my tongue is full of deadly poison. I need to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. How do we do that? We give God control. We let the Holy Spirit sit on the throne of our life and the Lord Jesus Christ be ruler and reigner of our life and say, I can't do this on my own. Don't think we can. We can't live the Christian life on our own. We need the Holy Spirit of God's help. Some of us have been saved for so long and some of us live a holy set apart life that we think, I don't have any problems with that. The Bible just reminds us and shows us we need God. We need the Holy Spirit. Even if you live with someone who is mouthy, doesn't mean that, hey, I'm better than, no, we're not comparing ourselves to the other people that live with us. We're comparing ourselves to, that's not what we're trying to become like. We're trying to become like Jesus Christ, right? That's what our goal is. And we see his responses. Well, Jesus was really tough on some of the Pharisees. Yes, he was God. He knew what was being said. And sometimes you do need to say things to try to help encourage people, but you get into the scriptures and they tell you, hey, look, don't worry about the mote in somebody else's eye until you get rid of the beam in your own eye. And they tell you, hey, look, ye that are spiritual, you're the ones that are supposed to do it. So make sure you're completely right with God before you start going and trying to tend to somebody else's issues. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Next thing is understand where your speech comes from. This is key. This is important. Some of us have learned how to play the Christian game so long and so much. We act right. We do what's right. We got to realize if we think it in our heart, it might come out someday. If we let it dominate in our heart. What does the scripture say? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Say, Pastor, I don't like about some of the things I think about. I get that. That happens to me. But we see the good man bringeth forth good. The evil man bringeth forth evil. Why? It's because your mouth is speaking what's already in your heart. So if there's something that's there, and you're like, I don't like it when I am angry, or I don't like it when I'm prideful. I don't like it when it's inside of you. And that's why we need to deal with the heart. That's why we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. That's why we got to get to the Word of God, and we got to pray, and we got to do different things to just make sure that we're right and holy. Our speech is something that's supposed to have grace with it. We might know how to answer every man, but do we know how to answer it the way that God would want us to answer it? We might know how to speak in a salty way, but is it the way that God would have us to do it? And because this tells us our speech is out, it's from our heart. It says, of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So be careful. Does that mean that if I ever say one thing that's wrong, that I'm horrible, I'm completely wicked? We're already desperately wicked. Our heart is deceitful. When we make a mistake, what do? We ask for forgiveness. We say that we're sorry. We say we shouldn't have said those things, and we go on. You say, well, that person said 100 things wrong to me, and I just said one thing. When you ask for forgiveness, what does that do? It declares the glory of God. They don't deserve it. It extends grace. And they might mock, they might laugh, but they might give something that the Holy Spirit can bring back up in their lives. Let's look at the next thing. Realize our speech has great influence. The Bible talks a lot about our speech, and it's found in, it's really an interesting study. But when we're declaring his glory, first thing we need to do is pray to the Lord. I want my speech to be acceptable in your sight. Not only is it that, we're also relying on the Holy Spirit of God. We're realizing where our speech comes from. But the next thing is, it has great influence. So nobody listens to me. You might think that. But the Bible says in Proverbs, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. James 3:5 says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And it talks about how small the tongue is, but how it can cause a great issue. It just takes one little match to start a forest fire. We got to be careful with this. Our tongue has great influence. Here's some other verses about how it can be encouraging, how we can declare the glory of God with our speech. That one was kind of negative in the idea of how bad it could be. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Proverbs 15:23, I like this one. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoke in due season, how good is it? I don't know how many times I've been encouraged by many of you, and how we've encouraged others with our speech. The word spoken at the right time, at the right moment, fitly spoken, meaning that it is exactly what God wants you to give to that person, because that's what that person needed. You know what? You don't know what that person's going through. You might think you do. You might know what your husband needs, or what your wife needs, or what that fellow choir member needs, or the person sitting on the pew. But many times we're like Saul and his encouragement with David. King Saul thought he had all the answers for David. Oh, you can't do it. And David explained to him, oh, you need my armor. Saul was out of God's will. Saul shouldn't have been giving advice. And if we want to know what we're supposed to say, we must rely on the Holy Spirit. We must learn to encourage people, but encourage them being fitly spoken, because we need God's help with our speech. Isaiah 54 said, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Listen to those words again. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. So he's learned something. Where did he learn it from? He says God gave it to him. God said, you know, God's given me this ability that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And think about that. that person that was weary, that person that was hurting, that person that we know people that are like that, but sometimes we don't know everybody like that. But God knows what that person's going through. God knows what that person needs, that word of encouragement, and it has a great influence what we can say. And once again, it's not about what we can figure out. Oh, I see this, and I wouldn't encourage. I've seen people try to encourage other people to do wrong things and then really mean to do it. It's not what they needed to hear at all. And they needed something else. They needed something more. But they were trying to be kind. They were trying to be generous. They were trying to show grace. They were trying to see. But it begins with praying to God saying, I want my speech to be acceptable in your sight. I need to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. What I say matters and influences others. So let's not be giving false praise. Let's not flattery is something that's talked about in the Proverbs that is a very, very dangerous thing. But let's be encouraging. How do you know? We get close to God and let God encourage you. So let's look at the next thing here. We can declare his glory when our speech is seasoned with grace. And I know we looked at this verse, so you say, well, how in the world can I declare his glory? When our speech is seasoned with grace, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming a time, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. When we treat someone with unmerited favor with our tongue, and we do it in a scriptural way, it's going to declare God's glory to everyone else, to those that are around. Maybe it's a person that doesn't deserve it, or maybe to the person that has a hard heart might not get it, but other people are going to see how you respond. Other people are going to see how it works. So once again, it says it here that we are supposed to be always with grace. God can't mean always. God can't mean that when that telemarketer calls you and you want to hang up on them and be rude to them and be smart aleck with them. This is always, I don't know about you, but I like to give them a hard time. I think it's great nowadays they call and they try to sound like they're a normal person, but they're really a mechanical voice and they know how to respond to your questions. And you ask them, are you a real person? And they're like, why would you ask that? It's because you can tell that they're like a robot or mechanical in that. And so to them, I don't mind hanging up on them. The other people, I try to say, not interested, no thank you. And then at that point in time, if they're not getting it, I'll say I'm hanging up now. So but we're supposed to be treating them too. Why? They're without. They don't understand. Our speech might be a way of an encouragement and a help to them. And so is that what? No. I'm just going to hang up on. Yeah, no, let's be careful that we are always with grace. Our speech should others make, as I mentioned about the salty thing, I like this idea is that we should try to make other people thirsty. There's a spot that says adorning the doctrines of God, meaning that we make the doctrines of God look like something that people should want. And there's ways to make things look attractive. I can take some things that don't taste very good. Now, that's not what my wife cooks. My wife cooks all great and wonderful things. It never needs anything. But I can take, well, I'm not supposed to lie. She doesn't like to cook with salt. So when she makes mashed potatoes, my boys have learned that that's what mashed potatoes are supposed to taste. Now, I grew up before I met her, you know, you're supposed to put some salt when you cook with mashed potatoes. If not, it's pretty bland. And, you know, so I put some salt on it. Why? Because it tastes better. And when we speak, our intention is that if it's seasoned with salt, other people are going to want what you have. Other people are going to say, you know what? There's something different about them. The way they respond, the way they act, that's something I want. I want to know more about that. That's not what a lot of people do with their speech. They turn people away. And that's not what we're supposed to do. Let's look at the next one. We declare his glory when we build up others. The first part is negative. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You're not supposed to let that happen. We all got that. I would never say anything that would be corrupt. Well, it's an interesting study what that word corrupt is talking about and what corrupt communication is, from lies to insincerity to discouraging people. But look at the next phrase. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Our tongues, our mouth, is actually supposed to try to build other people up. It's supposed to actually encourage, edify people with. It's not our job to just turn around and try to make somebody feel as miserable as they probably already feel. If something's going wrong, if something's going bad, yeah, they need to hear you say something bad about it too. No, they don't. it says that we can use, it's for the good use of edifying, but that which is good to the good use of edifying. Do we lie to people? No. Do we encourage people? Yes. Do we help people? Yes. Sometimes do we have to reprove people? Yes. But make sure when you look at the scriptures, if you want to be a biblical person, ye that are spiritual, make sure that you take the beam that's out of your own eye before you start picking out the little toothpick that's in the other person's eye. And make sure that it's a way that we are using to edify and to encourage and to work with someone else. Why? So it can minister grace into the hearers. We're supposed to be ministering. We can minister grace with our mouth and with our speech. You say, this is impossible. It's not. He's telling us to do it. Is it easy to do? No. Is it something that we can do? I know there are people who are always have been an encouragement to me in the past. And they minister. They edify. They build up. We're not talking about building up things that don't need to be built up. That's why we got to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. That's why we got to pray to the Lord. That's why we got to let Him lead us and let Him guide us. He knows what that word fitly spoken is. He knows exactly what needs to be said to encourage them to do right, to edify them, to build them up. God knows that. So let's make sure we're close to Him. Next thing is, I think we declare His glory when we build up others. When someone says, you know, I see God in you because you're an encouragement to me, because you're a blessing to me. You know, those are things that builds up. Those are things that says, I am a Christian and I love the Lord and God is using me to build up others. Next thing is, we declare His glory when we tell others about Him. When we tell other people about Him, then we're declaring the glory. We are communicating clearly that I am a believer, I believe in God, and this is what I believe about God. Look, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks if you a reason the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We should be ready for that. We should be ready to give that answer. What's different about you? The world's going crazy, but you still have a smile on your face. I have a hope that's not found in this world. I have a hope that's not found in things. I have a hope that's not found. It's found in Jesus Christ. Well, no one's going to ask you that. It's because your speech isn't saying it. It's because you're not showing that you have a hope. It's not because, and I'm not saying you have to walk around with a fake smile, but there, God will give you this opportunity. Paul was saying, hey, give me a door. Pray that God will give me a door utterance that will be opened up, that I can tell these people about the mystery of the gospel. And these are reasons that I hope that's, but we need to do it with meekness and fear. When we're talking to somebody about Jesus Christ, it shouldn't be some flippant thing. We need to do it in meekness, but also in fear. Fear of what? Of the other person? No. Fear that something we say could drive someone away. Does that mean we don't say the hard things? No, we do. But we be directed and led by the Holy Spirit of God. Not just the first thing that comes to your thoughts and your mind. I'm glad I don't say everything that comes to my mind first thing out of my mouth. You know, that would get me in trouble sometimes. So sometimes you just, there are things that you do not need to say. Things that are not necessary to be said. Well, that's just how I feel. And how you feel is not always what you need to say. So we need to control our tongues. Next thing, we declare His glory when we tell others. We declare His glory when we are thankful. It's something that has gone awry in the day and time that we live in. There aren't a lot of people that are thankful. Saying thank you is something that's important. And when you say thank you and show your appreciation, what does that do? It declares God's glory. I'm thankful for what you're doing. I'm thankful for what you've done. I'm thankful for the opportunity. You know, those are all things that declare the glory of God. It surprises me that even older people sometimes nowadays don't say thank you. And I'm not looking for people to say thank you when I do things or when I see other people, but I sit back and watch sometimes and people just, they're not thankful anymore. They expect things. You're supposed to do that. You know, someone's given of their time, of themselves, to help and serve. I don't think there's anything wrong with telling Brother Jim every once in a while, thank you for leading in the choir. I don't think there's anything wrong with telling the people that you see help cleaning around the building, thank you. Not to flatter them. That's not the point. But you're just thankful for what you've done. The Bible says here, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I know there's a lot of people besides Brother Jim, a lot of people besides just cleaning. What about me? You know, be thankful. Be thankful. It says Numbers 11:1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. So we're talking about declaring His glory. When people start complaining, It displeases God. Well, that was just the children of Israel. What does it say in Philippians 2:14? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. It says, do all things without complaining, disputings. You know, so you mean I can never, ever complain? There's a biblical way to go talk to someone if you have a problem with them. They're found in the scriptures. You mean that I can't ever, you know what? It tells us to bear one another's burdens. So when we have prayer request time and we're up there and we're telling people to pray about things and we're interested in helping other people to pray and we want other people to pray about it, yes, that's not complaining. When you just want to hear somebody else to hear all your problems, then that's complaining. When you're asking someone to bear your burden with you, that's a little bit different. How do you know the difference? We go back to point number one. We want God to be pleased with us even when we give our prayer requests. We want God to be pleased with us even when times are tough and hard and we're sharing our grievances with someone else. We want God to be pleased with us when we're being thankful or when we're really not happy with what's going on. We can take our lives and declare the glory of God with our speech, but that's by being thankful also. I know that's tough sometimes when it's not what we expect. It's not what we deserve. What is it that we deserve? The Bible says because of our sins, we deserve a horrible place called hell. But Jesus Christ died for us. He saved us. Let's not forget to be thankful for that. Remember, always with grace, seasoned with salt. That's how we can declare his glory with our speech. I think next week we're going to look at some of the other sides about the dangers. Next week we're going to talk about seven times when it's best that you stay quiet. And so we're going to look at seven different times when it's best that we stay quiet. So there are times when we should just be quiet. And so the Bible even talks about how if a person just keeps his mouth quiet, they're counted as wise. And so if you just learn to just stay quiet sometimes, you could actually be called wise. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the service to follow. Dear Heavenly Father,